back to Vertical Families. I am joined by the world's best mother-in-law.
Today.
No, ever. Debbie Haddix. Having a good day?
Thank you. Yeah, good day so far.
Good.
Doesn't get much better than sitting in a recording studio with you and our producer here.
That's true. Hey, today we have a fun topic to talk about. By fun.
Okay. Explain this one to me. How do you make fun out of this topic?
Well, I don't know. It's a needed topic.
Okay.
And not something personally that I have with you, but have you ever been to, you have to go back a few years to think about this, when your kids were young?
I do have to go back a few years. Okay.
And you may be at your parents' house and your kids act up, and then you're wondering, do I discipline the kids now? But what will my parents think of how I discipline my kids?
That is a tough one. I didn't struggle so much when my kids were younger. Mm-hmm. My parents were kind of on the same page with us, and so it wasn't such a problem. But I will tell you, speaking and traveling the country, this is one of the big ones I get.
This is a tough one.
It's tough.
I hear about this all the time. Usually it's through a complaint. You know, someone just talks like, I got to go to grandma's house, or I'm going out of town to spend a week at my parents or with my in-laws. And it's always disaster because they don't like how I'm raising my kid. And I don't like that they're spoiling my kid. And
it's tough because you're the parent with the primary responsibility. But,
right.
But I'm thinking, do you and Nate feel that way when you come?
Well,
oh, no, we
got
to go there again.
We still have a couple more days to spend together. So.
Okay.
No, but I think that it's challenging at times, I think, for both sides, because even though, so I may raise my kids a lot like how my parents raised me, but now I've married someone else, so I bring them into the equation. And then if I have a sister or a brother who's married someone else, we're all at the house, there's a lot of different opinions on parenting and what you should and shouldn't do. And if you're stuck in a house together.
Yeah, it can be. It can be, even, you know, I talked about my parents were pretty much on the same page and it wasn't much of a problem, but I do know, like, we raised three children who married three different spouses, and they all have their own take on parenting and how it should be. They all have different parenting styles. All of them, thank goodness, where I sit, I have the blessing of they're all Christian homes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they parent the same way. Mm-hmm. They have their own preferences, and it can be hard.
Yeah.
When you're all stuck together
right.
in this small little space. But we've talked, you know, this is one that comes up a lot. So I have had to sit down and kind of think, how do you work this out? And how do you talk to people about it? And I think we can come up with some essentials for every parent group out there.
I think I'm not real sure where we're going today. I want to lean on you on this one. But
okay,
some of it's like, what do we tell the grandparents? Like, how can you make sure that you're giving your child some space, your son-in-law or daughter-in-law some space to parent. But then also to the parents, you know, sometimes the opposite is true. You show up at grandma and grandpa's and here's the kids. I'm not watching anything. And grandma and grandpa have an established set of norms or habits and way of doing things. And maybe they're not used to having a two-year-old in the house. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Well, these first two things that I'm going to kind of throw out there, these first studies, may sound contradictory.
Okay.
But I think as we explore them, we'll see that they're not.
Okay.
The first thing I'm going to throw out there is more towards the parents who are coming to grandma's to visit. Mm-hmm. First essential is just show respect.
Yeah.
And that can be hard. But if we look at it as I'm showing respect, not I'm giving in or you're right. You know, these grandparents have raised their children.
Mm-hmm.
They've done the hard work. It's been several years. They're now at a point where they don't have to worry about those little kids and the fingerprints and the breakage of things because they're picking things up. And in a lot of cases, you know, now that the children are raised and gone, they've got a little more income to splurge on some nicer things that they wouldn't have bought when they had little kids in the house.
Yep.
And so I think we need to be respectful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe instead of going to grandma's with that, oh, here we go. It's going to be miserable. Or making your children miserable while you're there, which can certainly happen if you're just going, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't go there, don't do that. Make a plan. We've talked about intentionality in previous episodes.
We have.
Be intentional and make a plan before you go.
Yeah.
Don't make it long and complicated because a three-year-old child or even an eight-year-old child is not going to be able to keep up with that. But just simple things. Expectations. Like when we're at grandma's, we're going to use a coaster when we put our glass on the table. Or, you know, don't touch the knickknacks that are out on the, or even like yes, we play roughhouse games in our house, but at grandma's, we're going to go outside right. for the roughhouse games.
Don't jump on the couch at grandma's.
Yeah, right? just those kind of things. Maybe an overarching thing is just like leave things the way they were when we got there.
Yeah.
Like leave it the way you found it or even mm-hmm. better rather than tearing it up. So that whole rule just kind of comes down to be respectful
yeah.
of who they are and where they are right now in their life. The next one, I'm going to give to parents also, but I want grandparents listening very closely. And this is where it may sound counterintuitive. I also want to look at parents and go, stand your ground.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that has been given primary responsibility for raising your children.
Yeah.
Those decisions are yours. And a lot of times those decisions, we talked about the differences, a lot of times they're that couple's preferences,
right.
how they're interpreting scripture and how it should be applied to their children. But a lot of times it also has to do with the child's dietary, like mm-hmm. health restrictions and those kind of things. They know best what their child's bedtime should be mm-hmm. and what their diet should be.
Or whether they should have a bunch of Oreos before exactly. bed, right?
And not everyone's going to agree.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the sisters and the brothers and the parents. Right. Not everyone's going to agree with your decisions. They've made a different decision.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be respectful of that. And the parent needs to feel the freedom to be able to say no.
Yeah.
If something is being put out on the table for the kids to do and it's not fitting that parent's preferences,
mm-hmm.
they need to know it's okay to say no respectfully.
Yeah.
We're keeping that respectful thing in there.
That's a good one, to stand your ground and do it in love. You know, scripture always talks about speaking truth, but mm-hmm. then always says in love.
Yeah.
So here's the same thing, like stand your ground. But
yeah, you set your boundaries and you expect them yeah. to be followed, whether it's bedtimes mm-hmm. or naps or no candy, no sugar,
right.
or whatever those things are. And this is where I think it's really important that the grandparents are listening. It's okay to spoil your grandkids
mm-hmm.
within those boundaries that the parents set.
Yeah.
So we've got to remember that the parents have the primary responsibility.
Yeah.
So ask permission. You know, mm-hmm. you want to give the child that ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Just ask before you hand it to them.
Mm-hmm.
You think they should be allowed to stay up an hour later because all the other kids are staying up and ask.
Yeah. Not in front of the kids.
Right.
Right.
So right.
That makes the parent, listen, I think this kid should have an ice cream cone. I don't know why you're not doing it. Little Johnny's there like, this is why I love grandma.
But it just, the grandparents want the respect shown
mm-hmm.
when the family comes into the home. We should do the same for our children. And their
yeah.
We need to be showing the respect, too, and respect those boundaries they've set up.
Yeah.
And so, yes, off to the side, around the corner, can Johnny have this ice cream cone?
Yeah.
The kids want to stay up an extra hour tonight. Can they stay up tonight?
Mm-hmm.
And get the permission first.
Yeah.
It also, it makes the parents' job easier. And if we grandparents will think back, we really didn't like it when things got hard. But if we're going around and circumventing the parents' wishes while we have yeah. the kids or while they're visiting, it makes the parents' job so much harder when they go back home.
Yeah.
To get things back in line.
It does. Yeah. I can think of that. Not the course when my kids were at your house.
Okay.
But
I'm hoping somewhere else.
The kids have
hey.
Been gone all weekend. Now we got to get them back to bedtime exactly. and eating right. And yeah, it's something that you kind of mentioned that we remember back to when, well, not me because I don't have grandkids, but you remember back to when you had kids. I think sometimes in our minds, we think things were better or we did a lot better when we had younger kids than maybe what our kids are doing. So my kids were better behaved when they were that age rather than how your kids are. So
I think we all have convenient memories.
We do, don't we?
My kids tell stories of things that happened when they were kids at home, and the stories are nothing like what I remember.
Do you remember them?
Not the way they tell them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's true. All right, so stand your ground. What's your third?
I think it's important that we always, as parents, expect best behavior.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a time when less than best is acceptable. I remember when I was a kid, my dad had this uncle, and in my eyes, they were ancient. They were so old, and they lived in this house where there was all this old stuff and this breakable stuff. And before we would leave, every time my dad would remind us, be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
Don't touch anything. just go and sit with your hands in your lap. Kind of. That, I mean, that's how I remember going to Uncle Wes's.
Yeah.
Just go stay out of trouble. And as we got older, those reminders as we would leave didn't necessarily go away. They just changed in format. It was like,
yeah.
Remember when you go who you represent.
Mm-hmm.
You're representing the Jones family. You're
right.
representing the Joneses. Like, keep that in mind as you're making mm-hmm. decisions and you're doing things. And then later I heard, you know, the same kind of thing. You're a Christian. You're a daughter of the King. Yeah. Remember who you represent. Your actions reflect on God and on the choices you say you make and who you are. So I think no matter how you frame it, whether it's that little kid going to Uncle Wes's or the teenager, you're reminding them who they are. Those reminders are good.
Yeah.
Like, be on your best behavior.
We had this joke in our family because not at our grandparents' house, but I'm a pastor, so we'd visit a lot of people, especially when the kids were younger. And at one point, I made a joke. It was purely a joke, so I don't want this to be taken out of context. But I told my kids, I said, hey, before we go in, I'm just going to go ahead and give all of you a whipping now. And then you'll get it out of the way and you'll just be good when you go in. Well, somehow that stuck with them. So even now, if we go to someone's house, one of them will pipe up from the back like, hey, Dad, are you going to go ahead and whip us before we go in? So I never did that, but there was that conversation.
It was that cute little reminder.
Yeah.
Okay, cute to you, maybe not to
girls. I don't recommend that maybe, but there was we want to be on good behavior here. We want to respect. We're going in someone else's house. And so things that will help them later in life even too. So,
yeah. And I think that's important for us to keep that bar high as we're training our kids and we're raising them. Like, there's a high expectation here. We want their hearts to grow to be more and more like Christ. And I think we do that as we set a high bar and not we just let them get away with whatever choices they're making. But at the same time that we're keeping that bar high and we're trying to hold them to that high bar, we have to watch out. We also don't want to set them up for that perfectionism.
Right.
Kind of thing where they feel like they have to be on edge and make right choices and there's never any room.
Yeah. You still want them to enjoy grandma and grandpa's, right?
It's like it's kind of like Uncle Wes's. I mean, my memory was you go in, you sit in a chair with your hands in your lap and you don't move.
Yeah.
And that's no fun.
No.
Especially at a grandparent's house.
No. No. All right. What's the fourth one?
Consistency. And I think we've mentioned this before. Being consistent is hard work.
Yeah.
It takes effort. It takes follow through. But we need to remember that our kids are kids. They're not short adults. Their minds haven't developed. Their emotions haven't fully developed. And they're not morally neutral either.
Right.
We're all born sinners. And so they're going to need discipline from time to time. Yeah. And we have to understand that. Our kids are not perfect. They are going to make mistakes. And we have to have some kind of plan for being consistent and follow through when we need to.
So you're saying when you show up at grandma and grandpa's, so whatever your form of discipline is that you use, and they do something there, you need to go ahead and follow through.
You need to follow through. And I've seen so many, and I'm sure we're all guilty of it to some point because we all get tired. But that sitting on the couch, barking the command, like, do this, or I'm going to, and then we don't ever get up off the couch and do what we said we were going
to
do.
Yeah. I think that's something we'll come back to, like in discipline, especially in consistency. That's where I see, if I look at where I've struggled and where I see a lot of families struggling, it's being consistent because it's hard.
It is hard.
So, but here I know we're talking, especially at grandparents' house, you know, when you visit. So I thought the role at grandparents' house is I show up, I fall asleep on the couch and let you handle everything.
Oh, please don't. Grandparents, they love that time with the grandkids, but their energy level is not your energy level.
Right.
And so they can't be full on. Like, it can't happen. We get tired. We can't follow them around and keep our eyes on nine of them at a time sometimes. And
yeah,
I think it goes back to that episode where we talked about the church being the support system.
Right.
I think grandparents and parents should be in this together with the grandparents in the support role.
Yeah.
So we're there to help if you need it, but should not be the ones that are doing all the discipline.
We should talk sometime about how when a grandparent sees a child and girl go in the wrong direction with how they're disciplining, like what it looks like to speak into their life. I think that'd be interesting.
That's another episode. Yeah.
We'll talk about that sometime.
Okay.
What else do you have on this one?
Some of what I've seen, you and I have talked about, you're a pastor. We're both kind of in positions where we see a lot of things and we watch intentionally because of what we do. I get a lot of pushback on, but they're only kids. They're just kids. They're still trying to figure things out. Yes, we need to remember that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't interact with them. We don't discipline. We do it with a different mindset.
Yeah.
It's not a hands-off thing. If we look at scripture, and Luke 22 is one that comes to my mind, but there's many, Jesus often dealt with immature disciples. And that's what our children are, immature disciples.
That's true.
And in those moments, he offered love and grace and truth, but he still held them to a pretty high standard. He had expectations for how they would behave and how they would carry out their lives. And so I think we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yes, they're kids. yes, they're going to make mistakes and we're going to need to heap some grace and mercy on them.
Yeah.
But we still need to have those expectations.
Yeah, it's good. And then I know you wanted to wrap up with a reminder for the parents.
Parents, grandparents, any adult that has any interaction with kids, I think we need to remember that the best way kids learn is by observation. Hmm. And so if we're expecting our children to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit or to behave themselves at grandma's or not throw a fit at the grocery store, we need to be modeling that for them. Mm-hmm. So if we're not showing respect when we go in grandma's house or to dinner at a family at church that's hosting us, our kids are going to think that's normal and that's expected and it's okay. And so we need to be instilling in them by the way we handle ourselves.
Yeah.
What's expected when you go visit somebody else's house or anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And then I know you mentioned about that atmosphere of perfectionism, that we want to make sure that we kind of avoid that in our families.
Yeah. We don't want to set them up because none of us can be perfect.
No.
And there's going to be times when we all make mistakes and we all fail. And they've got to know it's not okay. Mm-hmm. But God understands. Parents understand. We can apologize. Yeah. We can do whatever we need to for restitution or whatever it is, and be restored and go on. It's not the end of things because we weren't perfect at one moment.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it all comes to heart motive.
It does.
When we're disciplining our kids, whether it's at grandma's, whether it's in the grocery store, that kid's throwing the fit mm-hmm. in the middle of the produce aisle because you didn't get them a Milky Way or whatever it is. Why? What's the motive? What's behind our discipline? Mm-hmm. Are we doing it because we know eyes are on us, the sister's eyes, the brother's eyes, the grocer's eyes, and we want to look like we've got it all together,
right.
And we know how to discipline, and we've got our kids under control? Or are we disciplining because we want to turn that young heart to Jesus, and we want them to learn to follow him?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, and the kids, the consistency is what helps with that, because if you allow your kids to do whatever it may be at home, and it's nothing wrong with it, then you show up at grandma and grandpa's and you haven't talked to them about anything different, and they do it, and you want to look good to your parents mm-hmm. or in-laws, and you immediately get up and discipline them. The kid's so confused. Like,
exactly.
I do this all the time. We do this together.
Why am I getting in trouble
what
now?
What is going on? this thing's just got ugly fast. And so, you know, that has to be that discipline or boundaries that kid needs to understand, right? So
I think consistency and why we're doing it.
Yeah, we'll have to talk later about discipline and really going after the heart and how that changes the motives and different things.
So. Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
Because if we don't know why we're disciplining or we're just kind of doing things off the cuff, it makes it hard for everyone. But it's like you said, I mean, this parenting thing's hard.
It is.
It's really hard. It's messy. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of energy. But it's the highest calling God can give to us is shepherding these little hearts.
Yeah. And you need the grandparents, right? So, I mean, I don't think we should be bitter. Like, man, we have to go to grandma and grandpa's. My kids never behave here. It's always rough. Or I don't want to go to my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's. But you really need them if they're an active part and if everything's healthy.
Yes. You know, if everybody's, I mean, there's all these, exemptions and things that go on. But if the family's healthy, if they're believers in Christ, if they're all walking towards the same goal. Yeah, it's a partnership.
It is.
The grandparents are disciplers too. They're mm-hmm. disciplers of their adult children and the grandchildren. And they should be hand in hand raising these young hearts.
And they should be encouraging their kids. The grandparents should be encouraging their kids who are raising their grandkids. Like,
right.
Not always like, hey, you should be doing this, or I used to do it this way. But, mm-hmm. hey, you're doing a good job. Or
exactly. You know, it comes back to that whole encouraging and affirming those positive things you see.
Right.
Let them know.
Yeah. Anything else to add today?
Not today. I think we've got it.
Have I offended you today with anything?
Keep trying.
I keep trying not to. You should see if I tried. So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us today for Vertical Families.